It's as if we've wandered the desert, travelers without a home, together yet alone in this uncertainty. An uncommon time, unexpected, undefined, binds us, unites us, does not divide us, but reminds us of who we are. A body, not a building, unrelenting, unyielding, persevering, revealing the faithfulness of God. Maybe this virus has started a fire inside us, ignited us, inspired us to live louder, love harder, care deeper. 6 feet, 6 miles, or a world apart. Our calling remains the same. For we are the body of Christ.
Hey everyone, this is Japree and I am so excited to bring a special message to you. There's a lot going on in this country, in our communities, and I've noticed lately that I've taken some time to just be quiet and sit and think about memories in my childhood that actually bring me joy. With everything that's going on, I found that reflecting on my childhood has been my coping mechanism. And so as I was thinking about my childhood, I started to think about the crazy rules that we have in the Black community. Now, wait, let me just give you an example. So as a young Black girl growing up in Akron, Ohio, there were certain rules in my household that we just had to abide by. And I'll just, for time's sake, focus on two. The first thing is the hair, the Black girl's hair. There was a rule that you could not ever, ever, ever let it get wet. So you couldn't let it get wet in the shower or in the bath. You couldn't let it get wet if you were walking and it started to rain. You couldn't even go swimming and let your hair get wet. Like, you are allowed to swim, but you better not let your head go under the water. And then two, thunderstorms. I tell you, it's something about thunderstorms. So if you're outside, that's a no-no. If you're inside next to a window, that's a no-no. You can't wash the dishes. You can't be on the phone. You can't watch TV. You know what? Just sit there in the dark, be quiet, go night-night. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that you can do when there's a thunderstorm. And to me, it just drove me crazy. And so as I'm sitting there thinking, I start to think about rules within the church, because I spent a lot of time as a child in the church. And before you get started, I'm not talking about any one particular denomination. Please do not send your emails to my pastor or the outlet. I'm just talking about church in general. So at my church, there were rules about anything. And if I brought a visitor to church, I had to make them aware of the rules. And if I went to my friend's church, I had to ask what I was and was not allowed to wear or do. And it was just a long list of man-made rules that we just had to abide by. These rules really affected me. And they affected me so much that I thought that I could not live and be saved. Like, I could live and not be saved, or I can be saved, but I could not live. I figured that I had to just sit down and get myself together. You know, like, you have to take a seat. I didn't think I could do it. Being hard in my mind at that young age was just so hard. And I realized that I was basing it off of my own performance and not God's divine grace. So I want to talk about society and the cultural norms. Now, we can define cultural norms as sets of behaviors and beliefs that are shared by a group of like-minded people. So what does this mean, Japri? It simply means that we all may act in a manner based off of what we believe or accept to be true, whether it's been proven to be true or not. And so one thing that I've noticed is that our behavior changes based on the people that we're around, because we're constantly trying to adapt and adjust to the cultural norms. Or think about it this way. Sometimes our beliefs teeter-totter based on the different environments that we walk into. And so when I think about these cultural norms, there's a spectrum that I can picture in my head. And on this spectrum, I see people just kind of lined up and spread out. And the people are in these different spots, and they're waiting to receive punishment for breaking rules from these cultural norms. Or further down the spectrum, there's people waiting or anticipating some type of harsh treatment because they have not met certain expectations. And then as we get further along the spectrum, there's a group of people that are expecting to be treated unfairly because they've just simply fallen short or they have not met the mark. And so along this spectrum, there's different types. We have our religious customs or our traditions. And these are norms that kind of guide us and tell us when we should read our Bible, how often we should read our Bible, when we should fast. I mean, think about the norm of, you know, I have to read this Bible app and I have to highlight this scripture and post it and share it so people think or know that, you know what, I'm saved. I'm living this life, right? You know, we get caught up in these customs, these traditions. There's Christian morals, and these are basically a set of standards based on the teachings of the Bible. So the teachings that Jesus taught, the thou shalt not, and thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that. You know, those are how people base their Christian morals on. And then further down the spectrum, we have a group of the taboo situations. Now, these are the situations that we can't talk about in church. These are the situations that we try to shield our family from or our friends from, because if they find out about it, it might jump onto them or they might end up in the same situation. And then at the end of the spectrum, we have the laws of the land. And these are situations where people have broken the law and they may be in jail. These are the heathens. We don't want them to come into the church. We're going to send the outreach ministry to them, or better yet, just stay home and watch service online. So, you know what? We can get caught up in these cultural norms so much that, one, we forget to operate in God's divine grace. So we are all familiar with the scripture in Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Why? Because it is a gift of God. And we're all familiar with the common definition of grace. Type it in the chat. Grace is God's free and unmerited what? Favor! Shown to guilty sinners, us, who rightfully so deserve that judgment. But as I was studying for this message, I came upon some other definitions of grace that I just absolutely love. And one said that grace is the love of God shown to us who have been deemed as unworthy to love. Another definition says it is like God reaching down from his throne and bringing us up out of our filthy and rebellious ways against him. You know, the times where he speaks to us and we know it's him, and he tells us to go left and instead we go right, or he sends people into our lives to give us advice or to minister to us and we don't receive it and we continue to do our thing. How about the definition that grace is like God taking time to fill us up with peace after we continue to put ourselves in chaotic, dangerous, unhealthy situations and relationships. I had a few, the ones that you just kept going back to and going back to. Yeah, put it in the chat, raise your hand, say me too. It's not a movement, but don't leave me out here hanging. This spiritual walk, many of us come into our spiritual walk with a true understanding that yes, in fact, we are saved by grace. But if I can be honest, somewhere along that journey, there is a shift that happens. And it's when somehow we forget that it is His grace that is saving us. His grace, it's a gift. It's precious, amazing grace. And oftentimes we become quick to point out and focus on the sin or the act or the mistake. You know, I wonder why we're slow to remember scripture that says, in God's grace, He freely makes us right in His sight. So when we mess up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and you know, Friday and Saturday is, it's already done and over with. You know, God is looking at us and He's saying, you know what? I see you. I see you, Japri. I see you, man. I see you, woman of God. Or the scripture that says for us to come boldly before His throne. There are two mentalities that I want us to take time and think about. We have the grace mentality and we have the performance mentality. Now, the grace mentality is simply us being who we are in Christ. The performance mentality is when we are constantly thinking about what we can do to be in right standing with Him. So as I was studying, I started reading Galatians 3:3, and Gangsta Paul, the apostle, he comes for us. I don't know if you've ever read this scripture, but he asked the question and it says, are you so foolish? Wait a minute. Let me say it the way that I hear him speaking to us. Hold up. Y'all, what's going on? Are you a fool or what? After being with the Spirit at the beginning, are you now trying to attain your goal through human effort? Yo, what's up? What you doing? Let's be honest. I've been foolish. I'm gonna put up both hands. How about you? You know, there are times that I have tried to strategize my way out of a mess. Mm-hmm. There are times that I have tried to get rid of a bad habit. There are times that I have tried to overcome a secret addiction without any type of support group. Mm-hmm. We've all been there. When it comes to our daily relationship with God, most of us try to maintain it according to our performance, according to what we're able to do, according to what we're trying to accomplish. This includes trying to think about how maybe we treat people or how we treat our family, how we go to church. There are examples of us even trying to rationalize if we can fully give our lives to God because of what? Maybe inappropriate relationships or using food, drugs, or alcohol to mask hurts that have been going on in our lives for years. Or maybe we just have bad character. We're the type of person that are gonna be disrespectful, love being disrespectful, and don't see anything wrong with being disrespectful. And so you're trying to rationalize, can I truly be saved? Or can I just play the role because I'm not able to follow those cultural norms? My question for you today is, how are you living? How are you living? Are you living by the grace mentality, or are you living by the performance mentality? Our response to God's grace can depend on how we are accepting those norms or how we are accepting God's grace. How are you responding to God's grace over your life? Think about it. Are you one of the ones that use a checklist and you try to follow it out of fear of being rejected? Are you hiding from your purpose or your calling because you haven't perfected that that one sin, you know, that one thing that you can't tell anybody about, or you can only tell your best friend. I mean, you won't even raise your hand when they say, who has unspoken requests, because it's that bad. Or are you the type of person that is trying to ignore your shame because you're living your best life? And you're gonna go hard, right? Because you're already out there. You know, people say you messed up. You know, I'm feeling broken. I can't do it. Nobody wants me. Nobody loves me. So I'm gonna just keep it moving. If you're one of those two people, I'm gonna challenge you today. I'm gonna challenge you to accept God's grace for what it is, a precious gift. It's an opportunity for Him to write His love all over your shame. It's an opportunity for Him to write His strength all over your weakness. It's an opportunity for Him to cover you with His peace when all hell literally is breaking loose around you. So, do you want to know what makes grace look so amazing on you? Think about this. Grace looks amazing on you when you start to understand the need to be rescued by Him. When you're like, you know what? I can't handle this. I can't carry this burden. God, I need to be rescued. Grace looks amazing on you when you take time to acknowledge that you are not perfect and understand that all of us were born into sin. This is a fallen nature. Grace also looks good on you when you start to remember that we have been justified by God's grace. Justification, that's our guilt. That's the penalty of our sins that have been removed. While at the same time, we have been given right standing with God through Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice on the cross. As I close, I want to challenge the body of believers to allow our experiences of God's grace, His divine grace, to encourage others out there so that they may focus on Christ alone instead of trying to conform to these norms. Let us speak in love and let us speak in truth instead of condemning, instead of judging, instead of shaming people. Let us abandon these man-made cultural norms in church that prevent people who are hurting and who are lost from giving their lives to God and allowing His truth to cover every single area in their life. Can I get an amen? I'm gonna go back to my boy, Paul. You know, he asked another question in 1 Corinthians 1:13. He says, has Christ been divided into fractions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in my name? Of course not. So I want you to think about that person that may have violated you at a young age, the person that has broke promise after promise, the person that has turned their back on you over and over again, the person that has lied and said that maybe you're not good enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not black enough, you're not light enough, you're not man enough, you're not woman enough, you're not professional enough, you're too loud, you're too quiet. All those lists of things that people have spoken over you. I want you to go back and I want you to put their names in that scripture. Has that person died on the cross for your sins? Absolutely not. Don't allow these people or these norms to control you, to control your destiny. Don't allow them to negate everything that God has spoken over your life. Jesus died for you, not them, not the church leaders, not the church members, not the president of the usher board, not your boss that you're trying to impress, not your friends or your family members that are judging you. Jesus died for you. And as believers, we need to stop pointing out the list of wrongs that people are committing. These so-called cultural norms that people are not following. And what we should do, yes, what we should do is point them to Jesus. How about we point them to 2 Corinthians that says, his strength is made perfect in weakness. Or point them to 1 Corinthians 1:28. I like the way that it reads in the Message Bible. It says, isn't it obvious? God deliberately has chosen men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses to accomplish great things for his glory. So I want to talk to the person right now that is struggling in their walk with God. Maybe because you're taking a look at all of these cultural norms. You know what? Let's abandon those. Let's push them to a side and let's embrace the gift of grace that God freely gives to us. And you can start by accepting Jesus into your heart by simply saying, Jesus, I love you. I've messed up. I've sinned. I'm not perfect. Please forgive me. And no, that doesn't mean that you're going to stop doing those things, but at least you're acknowledging that you need someone greater than yourself. You need a rescuer. You need a savior. You need someone that can cover you, that can guide you, that can lead you, that can strengthen you. So please take that step today and give your life to God. Accept Jesus as your personal savior. We have a number that you can text. If you've done that today, please let us know. Send us an email. Give us a call. We want to know who you are. We want to hear your story. And most of all, we want to welcome you into the body of Christ. So if I can leave you with one thing, let's abandon these cultural norms and let's embrace the grace of God. Before we leave, I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, we come to you today with our hearts open, ready to receive the gift of grace. Lord, we understand that we are not perfect. We understand that we fall short day after day, minute after minute. God, we no longer want to take on the cares of this world. We no longer want to try to live this life based on our ability and our performance, but we want to just be in you, be who you've called us to be. Lord, I pray for those who are watching, those people who are like, yes, this message is for me. God, I pray that you go through these virtual airways and you touch those people, you minister to their hearts. Allow your Holy Spirit to deal with them. Let them understand that they do not have to be in this fight alone, but that there are a community of believers that are abandoning these cultural norms and that are accepting and believing and walking in the grace of God, understanding that we are greater because of you. I ask right now that you would cover the people that are connected, the people that are connected to the body of Christ. I thank you right now for every single person that is listening or watching this broadcast. I thank you and I believe that their lives will be changed and impacted. I thank you, Father. I ask, oh God, that our minds will begin to change, that there will be a shift in our thinking, and that we will understand that we are not in this alone. God, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.